Hello, it's Rachel Cochrane, and I'm here in front of a roaring fire with the wind howling outside at the home of writer Wendy Robertson. We're about to listen to a short story by writer Avril Joy. I Was Robert Redford's Cleaner, from her book of short stories, Millie and Bird, available on Amazon.
I Was Robert Redford's Cleaner. On Sundays, Candice wore white. Come rain, come shine, summer through to winter and back, every other day of the week might be any colour, but Sundays were white. As it happened, the rest of the week was mostly green, green being the colour of the Costco warehouse overhaul, where Candice worked, packing boxes of sugar and tinned salmon. Before Costco, when she'd lived in London, Candice had been a cleaner. Cleaning was her calling, although she'd been forced to renounce it due to the upset with Robert Redford and the move north. White was on account of Jesus and the Church of the New Testament and Kingdom Hall in Albert Road. And today's white consisted of a knee-length broderie anglaise skirt, white gloves, low-heeled, highly polished slingbacks, a T-shirt with a white lace inset, several pearl bracelets, and a wide-brimmed organza hat that had seen better days, white not being the easiest of colours to maintain, and hats generally not suitable for washing. Still, white marked her out. White was outstanding. One day a week, Candice stood out from the crowd and showed herself off to the world. Candice's favourite part of church was after, in the hall. She doubted that she was alone in this, and anyway she was sure God would understand. After all, no life was meant to be all green overalls or bended knees, and she didn't have much of a singing voice. What Candice knew she was good at was society and, of course, cleaning. Candice prided herself on her cleaning. At her peak, she'd done for 5 ladies, each one swearing she could tell when Candice had been simply by opening the door and smelling the air. She was a laundry fanatic too, fancied she should have worked for a washing powder manufacturer, because there was nothing Candice appreciated more than laundry products, and should anyone want to buy her a present, then a trip to the laundry aisle of the supermarket for a bottle of Ylang Ylang Surf and some Calgon to keep the machine right was the thing. Candice liked nothing better than a full line, pegged according to colour and size, a strong prop and a gentle crosswind. On wash days, Candice would make herself a cup of peppermint tea and stand sipping it as she watched her washing billow and dance as it took on human form. The hall was filling slowly after the service. The Reverend Jakes, who was new to the parish, had delivered his first sermon and was standing in front of Candice, balancing a cup of tea in one hand, running his fingers between his red neck and his dog collar with the other. Candice was introducing herself. "My main business has been cleaning," she said, looking down at his dusty, unpolished shoes. She too held a teacup and saucer in her right hand. "I was Robert Redford's cleaner. You know, Butch Cassidy, Out of Africa, The Horse Whisperer, yes?" "Were you, really?" "Yes, I was." She could tell he didn't believe her. People never did. They thought she was some poor, deluded woman like Amelia Campbell who lived at the bottom of the row and was often to be found half-dressed and crying in the street at night, or Dawn Egremont, who'd gone to live in a camper van in the woods. If only people knew her, knew who she really was, they would have known it was true. It was what she'd been born to, trained for. Looking back, she sometimes thought it was as if her whole life had been leading up to that very day. "You don't believe me," she said loud enough for the others gathering for tea after the service to hear and begin looking around. "My dear woman, I am nothing dear to you, so don't address me in that way. Look here, I mean no offence. But you are offensive, that is. And in saying this, Candice lifted her cup from its saucer and threw the remaining tea in the Reverend Jakes's face. Tea dribbled down his chin and onto his dog collar. It would take more than a rub with Vanish to get rid of that stain, thought Candice, as she was ushered smartly out of the hall by Desmond Wrightson. She never had cared much for lay preachers or their gangly, underfed sons. Not a patch on her Otis. "Don't you take hold of me," said Candice, but it was too late. "If Mr. Redford was here, he'd have something to say, believe me." Candice sat at the back of the bus and peered through the grimy window as it passed by the houses in the centre of town. They were just like Mrs. Courtney Gray's London house, with its white, fat-pillared doorway, only nowhere near as grand. Mrs. C.G., as Candice called her, had been flying to Dubai the day she told Candice that Mr. Redford was coming to stay. Mr. C.G. was directing and wouldn't be at home, but Robert would be staying for a week or so. "You know who Robert Redford is, don't you?" Mrs. C.G. had said. Candice had nodded vigorously, conjuring the blonde hair and blue eyes of Butch Cassidy, or was it Sundance? Immaterial. Her heart had formed a brass band in her chest as she imagined herself leaping off a cliff into a raging torrent holding both their hands. What did it matter that she couldn't swim? The fall was going to kill her. Only it wasn't, because she was going to land in Robert Redford's arms and be saved. Mrs. C.G. handed Candice a full 2 pages of written instructions as to Robert's requirements and preferences. A light lunch, salad, not Caesar, but with anchovies, no pasta, juices, cranberry and carrot, no coffee after 11 a.m, yoghurt, natural, organic, snacks, fruit and salt crackers. The sheets and the towels in the blue bedroom were to be changed daily, eco products for washing, nothing scented. Candice made a great show of folding the pages and putting them away safely in her handbag. On her way home, she sat on the top deck of the number 73, took them out, tore them into pieces small enough to be fed through the bus window, and let them blow like confetti down the old Kent road. If she didn't know how to clean, cook, and see to every last need of Mr. Redford's, then she didn't know who did. And she didn't need a list of instructions from a woman who'd never had a brush down her own toilet. She met him for the first time as he was making his way to the bathroom, and she was putting freshly laundered sheets into the vast airing cupboard in the blue wing, as Mrs. C.G. liked to call it. "Hi," he said. He was wearing a toweling dressing gown, black socks and polished shoes. His hair was at odd angles to his head. He put his hands through it. He looked different, older. He was older, his face a rocky outcrop. Candice bobbed in a curtsy. He was older and craggier, all right, but his eyes were still as blue as the day and his shoes were like mirrors. For lunch, she made salt fish and dumpling, followed by ginger sponge and custard. Robert cleared his plate, then drank the honey and coconut shake she'd whizzed up in the blender and decanted into one of Mrs. C.G.'s crystal glasses. After lunch, when he interrupted her changing the sheets in his room, he remarked on just how fresh they smelt. Candice simply smiled. That was ilang ilang surf for you. Who needed lists? But it was at 3:30, when he was in Mr. C.G.'s study and Candice brought him freshly brewed coffee — Americans were not well acquainted with tea — and a generous slice of her own coffee and walnut iced sponge, that the ice was really broken. "Wow, smells great," said Robert. "Aren't you having any? Get yourself a cup and plate and sit down here. I could use some help." He patted the arm of the chair adjacent to his and waved a sheaf of papers at her. Candice went to the kitchen to fetch a cup and plate and steady her breathing. He needed help. Well, okay, he'd come to the right place. "Sit here," he said, patting the chair again. "It's a film script. I've got to learn these damn words. You be Isabella, Halle Berry's part." He pointed to the names above the script. "Start here where she says, 'I wasn't expecting you.' Then I'll come in, and it's your job to keep me right. Make sure I've got the lines, word perfect. Okay, let's go." And that's how it was for 3 whole days, side by side with Robert, cooking and very little cleaning because Robert needed her. And by the time Mrs. C.G. returned unexpectedly and walked through the study door, Robert had been near word perfect. Mrs. C.G. had not been interested in explanations. It was enough for her to see her cleaner in the study sipping coffee and eating freshly baked scones with jam and cream. It didn't matter that Robert protested. Candice was dismissed immediately. When she collected her coat and bag and was on her way through the hallway, he pressed a card in her hand and told her if she ever needed a reference, not to hesitate to contact him. The bus pulled up sharply at the pedestrian crossing. Candy steadied herself, then opened her white patent handbag and lifted out her purse. The card was still tucked away in the wallet with her picture of Otis. She took it out and closed a hand around it, put her purse back and flicked the clasp of her handbag. Otis was growing up fast, had himself a girlfriend now, Isa. A clever girl, as far as she could see. Good manners, too. Perhaps she would go to university, like Otis, or maybe film school. But Candice doubted it, given the girl's mother, Kitty. But if it did happen, if anything like that happened for Otis or his friends, she would contact Robert. After all, he told her to, and he meant it. And until now, she never had. She'd decided that day she'd had enough of big houses and the likes of Mrs. C.G. They were all the same, too big for their snakeskin boots, the Reverend Jakes included. As for Desmond Wrightson, she knew for a fact that inside his Sunday loafers his socks were breaking out in holes. They were deceivers, not believers. Wouldn't see the truth if it was sitting up and staring them in the face. One thing was for sure. The Reverend Jakes was not a patch on Robert Redford, not fit to polish his slip-ons, and next Sunday she'd make a point of telling him so. The bus rounded the corner by the co-op. Keeping hold of the card, Candy stood up, smoothed down her skirt, rang the bell and made her way to the front, where she waited for the bus to pull up at the bottom of Eden Row. She wondered if Otis would be in. Perhaps he would have brought that nice young girl home with him. If he had, then she'd make them chicken sandwiches and her very finest coffee and walnut sponge.
That was Avril Joy reading her short story, I Was Robert Redford's Cleaner, from her book of short stories, Millie and Bird, available on Amazon.